Some very clear words from Micah. Ask specific questions of God's people. What does God require? And I like the fact that it's a straightforward question. It's not one where there's what you might call a lot of wiggle room. It's not ambiguous. It's a simple statement. What does God require? And it's a very good question. It's one that stood the test of time, of course, and one that I think is still relevant for us today. What does God require of you and me today, tomorrow, through our lives? And he starts by asking the question about, well, is it sacrifice? And gives this list, and the sacrifices just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. A burnt offering, which is something that most of the people could have offered and would have offered. And then he goes on to, with a calf, a year old. Now, you could only offer a calf if you were wealthy, if you had herds of cattle, and most didn't. With thousands of rams. Who had thousands of rams to sacrifice? Only the king. But it doesn't stop there. Ten thousands of rivers of oil. You get to the point now where the people are saying, you're being ridiculous. And finally, ventures into the practice of their neighbours, child sacrifice. Is that what God requires? The fruit of my body to pay for my sins? No, he says. God's told you what he requires. It's not sacrifice. Now, don't get me wrong, friends. There will be times when God might ask you and I to make sacrifices. There will be times when our service of Jesus Christ will be sacrificial. There will be times when God will ask you to give your money in a way that is sacrificial. Your time in a way that is sacrificial. There will be times when you will need to forgive somebody and it will cost you. It will be a sacrifice to let go of that old wound and hurt. To say, no, I'm not going to seek justice. I'm not going to seek equality. I'm not going to try to get my own back. I'm going to just forgive and walk away. Now that can be sacrificial. So yes, there is sacrifice. But friends, those sacrifices are gifts that we choose to give to the God that we love. Not required. Not essential to our salvation. We might never make any of those sacrifices, and yet still we are loved and redeemed by God. But to get us to that place, there are certain things that are required. Two. And then an attitude. Do justice. Do the right thing. Live righteously. Live in a way that is right. It's an action. It's not a belief. Now, I believe actions flow from. We live from the inside out. So what I believe in here will shape my conversation with you, will shape how I drive my car, will shape what I do when I'm in a pressurized situation. We live from the inside out. And I think anybody that says different to that is a fool and deceives themselves. So what I believe fundamentally shapes what I do, but God says what's required of you is not necessarily to believe the right things, but to do the right things. It's a wonderful parable that Jesus tells about the two sons. And the dad goes to them and says, would you go clear this field? And one son says, no, I'm not doing that. And the other son says, yeah, all right, Dad, I'll go do that. And the first son changes his mind and goes to help his brother. And his brother's not turned up. The one who said he'd do it didn't. The one who had a bit of a bad attitude went and did it, changed his mind. That's what the prophet's talking about. See, I don't think God minds you doing the right thing and grumbling a bit. Or feeling, I'd rather not. But getting on with it. You see, that's what God requires. To live lives that actually make a difference. I can't remember which of the saints said it, but it's worth quoting. It's better to live a holy life than to have holy prayers. Do justice. We've talked quite a lot here about whole life discipleship. And this is what it looks like, friends. It's making those choices on a daily basis to try and do the right thing, to do what God would require. When you're in a pressure situation at work, when somebody's confronting you, when somebody's pinched your car parking space at Tesco's, that's when we need to do justice. And then love, mercy. Some translations put it love, kindness. You can interchange those words, love and kindness, love and mercy. When we start to show kindness, we start to show Jesus. When we start to respond kindly to people, that's often when we become the light of the world. I don't know your experience, but I think there's a distinct lack of kindness and mercy in our world. Not just on the global scene, but one-to-one. It does startle me sometimes how unkind people can be. I don't know if you've got a Facebook account or follow that, but I have, and I have a look from day to day, see what's going on. And it sometimes startles me how unkind people are and what they post on there. You think, why? There's absolutely no need to say that. Or the way people respond to things. I'm doing a Bible study over at the Free Church, and we're looking at the servant songs in Isaiah. We're just coming to the one where it talks about Jesus and the sacrifice he made in 52, 53, is it? It's round about then. And he says, you know, silently he received the punishment. Not biting back. See, I also think this encourages us to love kindness in others. To appreciate it when we see kindness in others. Even if it's a kindness that exceeds our own. It might be that we're having one of those wrong side of bed days. You get days like that and somebody shows us kindness. You know, we're a bit snappy. And people show us kindness. We should love that too. Even though it might make us feel worse, because it exposes our own ill will. When we see a kindness in a stranger, we should love it, we should appreciate it. When we see a kindness amongst the nations. Now, I think this is our way to be radically countercultural. Be kind, be merciful. I think, friends, in terms of our witness, it's one of our most powerful weapons in the 21st century. See, the gospel, I don't believe, is complicated. What is it Jesus said we are to do? What's most important but to love God and to love our neighbours as ourselves? And this is what it looks like. Doing those things requires us to act justly and to love kindness. And when we do, we are doing, I believe, exactly what Jesus asks of us. This is an everyday teaching. This is the kind of stuff that you and I can do Monday through Friday. This isn't Sunday stuff, although I hope you will be kind on a Friday, especially to the preacher, on a Sunday I mean. I hope you will be kind to those that are serving you the tea and our stewards on the door. Be kind to one another in the busy car park. Particularly, it's not so bad now, but come for the 10:45 service and turn up 2 minutes before, and that can test your kindness. But we apply these principles, and I am of the view, friends, that when we do, our lives will be transformed. It will make a difference to the way that we live, and it will have such an impact on those around us and give glory to God. And what more could we desire?